Day, and I was thinking about the providence that brought us all together today. You know, how many different workings of God's providence that worked in our lives, and you know how they you came here, you know, from listening to going to a book thing when Brother Zach and Brother Jimmy, and you know, and then there was the church here, and Mom started coming, and all the different, you know, workings of God in providence that brought us all together at this point, in this particular point in time. And I'm gonna give a report about what's going on in Albuquerque, and I think it's pretty exciting. And you know, moved down to Mississippi, let's see, a while back. A few years. You know, it was a while back, and you know, I feel like the Lord was in that matter, and you know, for various reasons, and I was meant to be there, and then it seemed like God shut the door, and had a job offer come up in Albuquerque, and kind of wonder, you know, I mean, there's no church out there, and you wonder if you're doing the right thing for your family. And attended a few different churches, and you know, I enjoy free grace. I enjoy free grace, brother. You know, and so you know, we had some good fellowship, but I always long for you know, free grace. And so Brother Bloyd, Stephen Bloyd, he's from Maryland, and he's a Primitive Baptist preacher, and he, his dad lives around there, and he'd come like 6 times a year, 3 to 6 times a year, and we'd go down to meet. And through, you know, Providence, there's a brother, Jerry Foshi, and Brother Roger knows him. And he has MS, multiple sclerosis, and he's, you know, he's in a wheelchair and walker, and he is really weak, but I'll tell you what, I've never heard him complain. Not one time. Never. I mean, he'll ask for prayer that his leg is hurting or whatever, but he doesn't. He's like, oh, good to hear you, brother. Good, you know, and the Lord is good, and always. And that is the truth. The Lord is good. And I was thinking about, before I forget, I was thinking about the words of John Newton, and that's what I feel like today. You know, he's like, if I remember two things, that I'm a great sinner, but we serve a great Savior, you know. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Never forget that. So Brother Jerry, Brother Bloyd, I don't know how it exactly came about, but he said that he'd like to open up his home for us to meet. And so we started going, and basically, thinking a year and a half ago, about a year and a half ago, we started meeting, and we've been meeting every Sunday since. And it's Brother Jerry, Evelyn, and Jim, and Virginia. And Evelyn and Jim are married, and they're Catholics, and I like to say ex-Catholics, because I don't know how you could listen to me every Sunday and be a Catholic. So, and they're hungry, you know, they're hungry for the word, and they listen. And Virginia asked for a Bible, and so I gave her a Bible, and she takes notes. And I just pray for me for wisdom. You know, it's totally new, but I decided to preach on TULIP, you know, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace and perseverance and preservation of the saints. And, you know, they keep coming back, you know, and I spoke on the London Confession of Faith a little bit. Felt like, you know, after once or twice of doing that, it was a little heavy, you know, it was a little bit. So what I've been doing is going through the book of Hebrews, and I figured that Hebrews really addresses work salvation. It's all by grace. It's finished. You know, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It is finished, you know, and I maybe say that almost every message, but it's such a good message. So, anyway, we've been meeting. Oh, and then Mel and Jan, another couple, and I really don't know their religious affiliation. And it doesn't really matter to me. Now we have a new couple that's coming, David Dias and his wife, and their two kids, and soon to be three. So pray for that. And they've been coming. So we have upwards, you know, sometimes 14 people meeting, you know. And then Brother Boyd came a couple weeks ago, and he basically said, you know, basically preached on the doctrines that we most surely believe in believer's baptism and tulip and some other things, and they're taking notes. And, you know, I asked them what they thought, and they said, oh, this is great. You know, this is a great message. So it's exciting, you know, and I feel, like I said, at Ole Enan, they asked me to give a report and last Sunday. So I told them, I said, I feel really humbled, you know, by this opportunity to, you know, like Paul said, though, I'm less than the least of all saints to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's how I feel. So just be in prayer, you know, that the Lord's will be done and that he'll continue to edify people and maybe in providence that he would plant a church in Albuquerque, and that would be pretty exciting, you know. And I, like I said, I wonder, kind of wondered if, you know, that's what the Lord would have me to do. And I think, you know, I look at what's going on, I feel like the Lord is, you know, in that matter. And I do, you know, when I, every time I'm back in Mount Zion, I have a love for this church. And, you know, to people that don't know us, you know, we, Mark and I are twin brothers, and you know, the Lord dealt with us really in the same time period, and my brothers, and you know, we are all members of this church, and the Lord has, you know, used this church in my life, and Brother Leroy and Mark and I and Dave, we get together and study Romans, and that was good. It was good stuff, and a good, really good foundation. So just, like I said, be in prayer, thinking about, you know, I'm only in Hebrews 5, you know, it's a rich, rich book. There's a lot in here, but I'm going, and it's good for me, because I'm going through the whole book, and it's just, I'm doing expositional, and I'm going through the book, and there's no taking stuff out of context, and just preaching the word. You know, preaching the word. So, and so my thoughts today are in Hebrews chapter 1. I'm not going to speak for very long, even though I know I have as much time as I need. And Hebrews 1 is a awesome, awesome chapter. Even, you know, spend some time and memorize it. It's really good. It's, you know, it's on the deity of Christ. And it puts Christ where he is, on the throne. And if you ever get in a discussion with someone about, is Christ God, point him to Hebrews 1. Point him to, you know, John 1, but Hebrews 1. I'm going to read up to the verse I'm going to speak on today. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And this is still talking about Christ. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And that's a comforting thought right there. He upholds all things right now by the word of his power. All things in providence. when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And there's a lot of thoughts, and I'm not going to bring them all out. I could, you know, talk about every verse. There's a lot in every verse here, but in, you know, that sitting, the priests, and this is, you know, this book is written to Hebrew Christians that were going to suffer persecution. And we could, you know, I really feel like it's the time is coming soon that we're going to be under persecution, manifest. It's already here. I shouldn't say it's coming. It's already here. But we could encourage ourselves in this book. But one of the things, you know, the Hebrews would have understood, you know, everything that's alluded to in this book. And what he's alluding to is a priest that says they stand at daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice that could never take away sins. And they stood. They were always busy. They were always doing something. They were always bringing bulls and goats and, you know, ashes of a heifer and all these things. And they always were busy. And they were always working. But those sacrifices were pointing to Christ. But they could never take away sins. And they stood. But here it says he sat. He was finished. It is finished. He sat down at the greatest place in the whole universe, the right hand of the majesty on high. He said, being made so much better than the angels. And that's another thought. You know, he's going to go into, you know, the writer's going to go into how Christ is superior to the angels. And they were pretty much revered by the Hebrews. As yet, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which the angel said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, excuse me, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Okay, this is a verse I want. I'm going to talk about this. Verse 8. This is God the Father speaking. The first person in the Trinity is speaking to the second person in the Trinity. He says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. I think about that, you know, just there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot in that verse, but I think about that righteous scepter of his, that he's a holy God. Can you imagine a God that wasn't holy, capricious, and all that? He's a holy God. He's a good God. And this is talking about Jesus Christ, that he has a right scepter. And God the Father declares that Jesus Christ is God and that he's on the throne. And that's where he is right now. On the throne, he's ruling. You could look out and see all these things happening in the world. I never once think that God's not in control. He's in control of all these things. And all these things are going to work out to his glory. And they are working out. If you read, the way I read Revelation is it's going to get pretty bad. And there's going to be, you know, the saints, it says in, it's just reading, it's strange. I never read it before, and it says in Revelation 20 that they're going to be beheaded for his namesake. And it's pretty strange, you know, you think about beheaded. And that's what's going on with Christians in the Middle East. And who knows, the way people are, you know, these days, might be going on here in the near future. So, but I always thought about, you know, that thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, talking about Jesus Christ as God. But I want to talk about his throne and just bring up a couple thoughts on his throne. And in Isaiah, you probably know where I'm going, Isaiah chapter 6, and one of the thoughts about God's, about Christ's throne is, it's the throne of sovereignty. I remember, you know, Jeff and Greg, when they were born again, they referred to this, you know, this chapter. And it's such a God, Christ magnifying chapter here. It says in chapter 6 of Isaiah, it says, in the year of King Uzziah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. When I think about that attitude, the angels see him in his glory, and they can't even look. God is holy. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So one thought about his throne is that it's a throne of sovereignty, that he's a king, and he rules. And when you, at least I should say for me, when I get a glimpse of God's glory, and you know where I get a glimpse of God's glory? In his word. You know, people are wondering, how does the Spirit talk to you, and how do you find out God's will, and how, in his word. And I see God sometimes in the Spirit and in the word, and you know, I feel like Isaiah, woe is me. I'm a sinner. I'm a great sinner. And sometimes, you know, the Lord really applies that. But I have a great Savior. You point, you know, never look inside. Brother Leroy told me this. Never look inside. Always look to Christ. When you see your guilt and your sin, always look to Christ. And we think about in Daniel. Kathy, one of the worst things about speaking is not being able to find a book, but I thankfully found it. Okay. Like, I'd be a little bit hesitant about preaching out of Obadiah. Might take me a while to find it. But here's another thought about God's throne. And this great chapter, all of Daniel is great. Every single chapter is really good. It talks about God's sovereignty and how he works. And just a little slice of history, but, you know, God's working throughout history. It says in Daniel 4:34, and at the end of days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And I like this next part. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? It always reminds me of Romans 9 when I read that. You know that, who are you to reply against God? Hath not the potter power over the clay to do what he will? And that's God. And our attitude should be, you know, just praising him for his providence. The next thought about the throne is found in Revelation. There's a throne of judgment. And I know people don't like to think about it, and I sometimes really don't like to think about it, but I'm going to plead the blood of Christ. But here it says in Revelation 20, John says, and I saw a great white, 20 verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I don't see any real exceptions in there. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. So we see that the throne is a throne of judgment. And it's all throughout the New Testament that God's got, and judgment belongs to him. But my last thought, and keeping that in mind, and that thought about God's is the throne of judgment, is the last thought, which is a comforting thought about the throne. In Hebrews chapter 4, and it starts in Hebrews 4, verse 12, we'll start there, and it has kind of the same thought about God and God being omniscient. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And here's the thought. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Isn't that a great thought? That is the throne of grace. You know, later in this book, in Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about the Ark of the Covenant. And it talks about the angels of glory shadowing the mercy seat. And it's called the mercy seat. And that foreshadowed Christ. That it's not a judgment seat. That it's a mercy seat to those that are his. And that's, to me, you know, I know, you know, this is a really, this is a verse that many Christians cling to, and for good reason. When you think about the thoughts of Christ, that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, that he knows what we're going through. And it says, yet without sin. That's an important thought. But he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And thought about, you know, like, and I always bring this up, you know, people would ask for prayer, you know, people that had miscarriages, they would ask for prayer, you know, about it, and I'd pray about it, but, you know, one point, Kathy and I, she had a miscarriage, and, you know, it touched me, you know, it really, you know, bothered me a lot more than I thought it would, you know, I mean, it really bothered me, and then the next time that someone asked for a prayer about a miscarriage, I was touched with the feeling of their infirmities, and it made me, you know, pray all the more for them. And here we have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and we do have a throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, and I need that every day. You know, I thought, you know, there's so many thoughts that came to my mind today, but I thought about that, not of works, lest any man should boast. If my salvation were of works, I'd be damned to hell probably every minute of the day, because I can't do it. And it's a throne of grace. And we could obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And what a thought. You know, you think about his throne of majesty and sovereignty, and who he is. And, you know, it said in Revelation, the earth, from whose face the earth fled away. But here we see a contrast as the throne of grace, that we could obtain grace and mercy in time of need. And that's what I need, and that's what we have. Thanks for your attention.